Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Suzanne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. We've been contacted by your daughter, who's an adult. We'll talk to her in a sec. But I just want, by way of introducing Paula, if you tell us what situation has unfolded, Suzanne. It's very, very distressing.
Very distressing, right, Joe. Paula has been suffering with anorexia since she was 12. And she's very, very ill at the moment. She's currently in Lewis Bridges, which is a treatment centre in Dublin, a private treatment centre. Mm-hmm. And she was in University College Hospital in November. That's when she was admitted first to the psychiatric ward and then to the medical ward, where she had to be tube fed. Now, the situation we're in at the moment is there's no facilities in the west of Ireland to facilitate Paula's condition, you know, the treatment. There's no treatment centres. There's no, in the psychiatric ward, there's no trained nurses. It's a very specialised field, you know. It's a very complex disease and it needs very specialised treatment. There is none of that in the psychiatric unit in Galway.
So who's paying for Lewis Bridges? Is that what it's called?
Lewis Bridges.
Who's paying for private facility? Private facility.
Yes. Well, there is no public facility, Joe, in the country for this condition. There's no public facility available.
So who's paying for it?
Well, we are currently. My husband and I. And, I mean, I contacted someone in the HSE. I mean, right from the word go, we got our consultant to apply for funding through the HSE. For a private facility, we tried John God's, we tried St. Pat's. They're all private facilities as well. And she was referred to all of these places. And the only available place was in Lewis Bridges. And so I contacted the HSE personally after being refused twice and explained the situation to them and told them that, you know, that the desperate situation we're in. And basically was told that, well, she'd try, but the HSE would look on it that, well, we decided to transfer Paula to a private facility and that, you know, we'd basically have to pay for it, you know, which is desperate, you know, it really is.
So what, how much has it cost the family so far?
So far, Joe, we're about €25,000 paid in.
Wow.
And we are now out of money at this stage, and you know, we're desperate now at this stage, and for Paula to come out of where she is at the moment would be disastrous, you know. She's very, very ill with this disease, and it would be a disaster, you know. But we're getting no help, we're getting no, you know, it's only last Friday week I got a letter, a 3-line letter saying basically you're not in our budget, and you know, no alternative, no sort of, you know, well, we'll try and help you in this way or try and come up with a different solution or, you know, nothing at all. Just no, sorry, we don't have it in the budget. And, you know.
And your husband also, David, is there. David, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Good. David, how many, the programme that Paula is on, how many more weeks does it entail? Minimum.
Well, 12 weeks minimum, but when she went in there first, we were told straight away that she's a very, very serious case, and that, you know, that it would take longer, like, more than likely, you know. So.
And how are you going to finance it?
That's a good question, Joe.
Yeah.
Not going to be easy.
Because you're already, what's already cost 25,000. And that will double, will it?
Well, it's hard to know. It's very hard to know.
Joe, if I could come in there,
yes,
and just
Suzanne,
say that that's more than likely, it will be more expensive than that. Because, as I said, she is a very serious case. And it's, you know, this is a very, very complicated disease. People need to understand how powerful this disease is. It completely takes over a person and really needs complete, very, very specialized help. We're just at our wit's end, really.
Paula herself is the one who contacted us, and I know we've been talking, the producer been talking to the three of you, and Paula wants to speak. Paula, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Well, how are you?
I'm okay.
Okay. How long have you been in the facility now, Paula?
I've been here. This will be my 8th week here now.
Okay.
It's going well. Like, it's only because of how things went in hospital in Galway and stuff. I feel like I was almost playing catch up when I arrived here. But the facilities here are you can't compare them to Galway at all. Galway just doesn't have anything for eating disorders. Never mind someone who's really suffering. So.
And Paula, how long have you been afflicted by anorexia, by an eating disorder?
Since I was about 12, it's been there. But,
and you're nearly 20 now, isn't that correct?
I'm nearly, you're 20, yeah, I'm 19.
And you mentioned hospital, so you were in the care when you were under 18, is that it? Did that make a difference? The child and adolescent mental health care, CAMHS.
Yeah, I had to go inpatient then as well. I was inpatient there for about 10 months.
Okay. How did you find that?
It was, the care there was amazing. I couldn't have asked for any more than I got. In CAMHS, but the adult service just can't provide the same help. Patients.
And that's why you're in the private facility, because now the HSE, when you contacted us, Paula and Suzanne and Dave, we went on to the HSE. And the HSE said the HSE cannot comment on individual cases. Well, yeah, we know that. Most people with eating disorders recover through treatment in their community. All adults who have an eating disorder diagnosis can be admitted to inpatient mental health approved centres around the country. There are 3 beds in St Vincent's Hospital ring-fenced for people with eating disorders. The HSE does fund patients in private facilities. Decisions are made based on individual clinical need as assessed by the local mental health team and the prioritisation of available funding.
Yes, yeah. Joe, can I...
Suzanne,
can I come in there, Joe? As far as we were concerned, I mean, I know this for a fact from being in the hospital with Paula, that, we talked to several doctors, several nurses in there, and they all told us the same thing, that patients in this side of the country do not get funding.
In the West.
And, that we were basically wasting our time even applying for it. Now, we did apply for it, obviously, and just kept getting refused. We were refused, as I said, 3 times.
Yeah.
And, for someone to say that, they're dealing with an individual case, fair enough. But if Paula wasn't a serious enough case, I don't know who is. She was tube fed for 5 days in the regional hospital in Galway, and my husband and I had to sit with her for 24 hours a day for that 5 days in case she went into cardiac arrest, because when a person is being refed, it's called refeeding syndrome.
Yeah.
So the person can actually go into cardiac arrest, because being fed again can actually cause complications. So we had to sit with her for 24 hours a day. I was in doing the day shifts. My husband was obviously working in the day. He would come in and sit with her at night. Mm. And that's the situation. So if that's not a serious enough case, I really don't know what is, at the end of the day. And her BMI was so low. Like, a normal BMI, to explain to people, a normal BMI is about 25.
Mm.
Paula's BMI was 13.5. So if she's not serious enough, I'd like to ask someone in the HSE how serious do you actually have to be, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we were desperate. And for them to turn around and say that we had a choice in this, that we made a choice, you know, to put Paula into a private facility. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, we didn't have a choice, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be like me having a heart attack, Joe, and someone bringing me into the oncology unit and saying, treat this woman for a heart attack. It's mm-hmm. the same thing. You know, they're not going to be able to treat me. They're not. They don't have the facilities there.
And is there any other options? What about this treatment abroad scheme, isn't there?
Yes, there is a treatment abroad scheme.
Why should you have to go abroad when there's a facility
in
Dublin?
But anyway. I was just about to say that, Joe. Mm. Why should someone be ripped away from their support network and their family? And, you know, this is traumatic enough as it is. And at a phenomenal cost. It's a phenomenal cost.
Well, it's a phenomenal cost to any family.
Oh, absolutely. We'd have to travel back and forth. We'd have to, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're just ordinary working class people here. Like, we're not, you know. Mm. And, you know, we just want to point out there that why is there no help and they can say they provide help or whatever. There's no dietitian on this side of the country.
Yeah.
In the public service.
The
there's no dietitian.
Yeah.
You know, the psychologist.
Paula, you seem to have incredible self-awareness of your condition.
Well, I have been suffering for quite a long time. And it wasn't always like this. Even a few weeks ago, my health deteriorated an awful lot. But I think if I had to go home now, I don't really know what would happen. I think I would probably end up in hospital again. And I'm just really scared, to be honest. I don't really know what to do anymore. I'm in a situation now where it's quite scary. And I don't know. It just seems like the HSE isn't listening. And it almost feeds into the illness as if no one cares. And that you're not good enough for funding or something.
And I don't want
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I don't want to put any pressure on you either. I'm very conscious of the condition and people who suffer from anorexia.
I just don't want anyone else to be in this situation.
Yeah, of course.
And even if it doesn't mean that I get the funding, if someone else gets it because of it, then that will be worth it.
And do you feel, Paul, is this a fair question, do you feel that where you are at the moment is helping?
Oh, I wouldn't be able to do it without Lewis Bridges. They've been amazing.
That's wonderful to hear. That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah.
So you have to stay there. You want to stay there.
Yeah.
You have to stay there. It's a medical facility. And you know, the three of you have been talking about coming on the radio, so you know what the ins and outs are. And it shouldn't be a pressure on you, but David and Suzanne, you're heading towards a bill of €50,000.
Yes.
Which, after tax, by the way, so I don't know what you work at. If you are lucky to work in employment outside the home, that's you're talking about $100,000 before tax.
Yes, Joe. This is the problem we have, and it's a dire situation. And you know, as I said, you could probably ask my husband there about his employment. He's a self-employed plumber.
He has
his own business, and you know, it's tough. It's tough, and he's working very, very hard. And you know, I just want to say to Paula there as well, Joe, that you know, I said it to Tara, who's absolutely fantastic, by the way.
Tara and the team here, yeah.
She is. She's absolutely fantastic. But Paula is the strongest person I know. And, you know, and I can tell her that, you know, we will not stop fighting for her. And, you know, no matter what we have to do, we'll do it to get her the treatment that she needs. And, you know, and there's no doubt about that. But she's a very, very strong, resilient girl. And, you know.
And David, can I ask you, is there any VHI or Leia Healthcare, are you a member of?
Well, I suppose, Joe, in the downturn, like everybody else, I don't feel different to anybody else. I mean, when things went belly up, well, look at, if you had the sheriff calling to your door or whatever, okay. I don't know, some people didn't, we all did, I suppose, a lot of us.
So you had to give up, as a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Stay with us back after this.